Let's turn together in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. We continue our working through, our preaching through this letter of Paul to the church at Philippi, the letter to the Philippians, page 1348 in the Pew Bibles, 1348. Philippians chapter 1, we have been looking together at his introduction to this letter, his opening remarks. We've spent time looking at verses 3 through 5 in terms of the fact that he is praying for them, giving thanks for the fellowship they enjoy together in the gospel. We've looked at 6 and 7 in terms of the confidence that he expresses. God has begun a good work. God will complete it. We've looked at the verses 9 through 11 in terms of what he prays for specifically, that they may abound more and more in love. Now we pick up at verse 12. We're going to be focusing on verses 12 through 14, but I'm going to read to 26 for the context. This is the holy word of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. So far, from the Holy Word of God, I'll just read once again as we keep our Bibles open, if you're able, to the verses 12 and 14. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I wonder if we can identify with the sense that in the face of the current difficulties, we feel a little bit oppressed, a little bit hemmed in, a little bit circumscribed. And I wonder if in the face of that feeling, we sometimes get a little bit frustrated, overwhelmed, and begin also to give up in terms of, well, what's the point? What's the use when it comes to ministering the gospel? I don't know if you've been through circumstances in addition to the broad circumstance we're going through right now where you have been overwhelmed with your own weakness, your own frailty. Maybe an illness has beset you and you just feel so tired. You feel like there's no point in speaking hopefully and joyfully. And I wonder if thinking about these things helps us to get a little bit of the sense that Paul wanted to counteract in terms of what he's saying by way of encouragement here in these verses before us this morning, verses 12 through 14. Paul was in prison, you remember. And Paul's writing to this church in Philippi that was near and dear to his heart. He was effectively some 10 to 12 years previous, the one who was used of God to plant the church there in that great city. And they have kept up. They have kept in touch. They love each other dearly. You understand, therefore, that the church in Philippi, also facing its own opposition and perhaps bordering on persecution, also has a heart for the Apostle Paul. They're worried about Paul. He's in prison. But he wants them to know it's going to be okay. He wants them to know that God is on the throne. Jesus Christ is on the throne. God is in control. And he's building his church. I want to speak this morning from the Word of God, this encouragement that we see here, seeing the gospel advance in hard times. We face our own version of hard times, we might say corporately together or in terms of what we see all around us in the world or perhaps even in our own lives, our own struggles, our own frustrations. We need to be encouraged by what Paul is showing us here, that the gospel is going forward. And by God's grace, I think we taste something of that. The gospel is going forward. Don't you see that in your life? Don't we experience that in the life of the church? And shouldn't we be encouraged to see more of that and to pray and work for more of that? Seeing the gospel advance in hard times. And in terms of the way we're going to work through the text, verses 12, 13, and 14, I just want to lay it out this way. I want you to know, is what Paul says in the first place. Here's how it shows what we see happening in verses 13 and 14, and now off you go. Could it be that we too would have more and more of that boldness, that confidence to speak the word without fear? That's what happened in Paul's day. That's what Paul is encouraging the church in Philippi about. It's happening in Rome, even though he's still in chains. He's bound to the palace guard. He's under house arrest. He has opportunity to do many things, but he's still in chains. But the Word of God is not bound. That's what he's encouraging us with here, as he would also say in, I believe it's 2 Timothy 2, verse 9. The Word of God is not bound. Praise be to God. So in the first place, I want you to know, we are to understand that this experience is from Christ. Understand this experience is from Christ. He says, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. I want you to know what's really going on as much as we can appreciate and understand. There are ways in which we can become overwhelmed with all of the difficulties that are taking place. And Paul certainly could have gone on at great length as to the difficulties. But that's not what he does. What I want us to see in each of these points this morning is sort of an elaboration of two little words at the end of verse 13. It's become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest. My chains are in Christ. My chains are in Christ. Now, how we're to understand that, I'll suggest in the first place that that means Paul can speak of all his experiences, all that he's going through, all that he's enduring, even at the moment that he's writing to them from prison, it's all under the sovereign care of King Jesus. It's in Christ. You could say it's from Christ. Understanding this experience as from Christ. So that's what he's speaking about here first. You don't hear the Apostle Paul bemoaning his condition. You don't hear him complaining. You don't see him posting pictures on Facebook, if that were a thing, it weren't, about how chafed his wrists were and how difficult it was and how bad the food was there in the prison. You don't hear any of that. Rather, you get the sense that the Apostle Paul is not concerned about himself, he's concerned about the gospel. You get the picture that the Apostle Paul has taken on something of the mind, the spirit of Christ, that he wants to be like Christ, as we'll see later on in Philippians chapter 2, that he has the mind of Christ to count others better than himself. He's not going on and on about his own difficulties. You don't hear that from him here. Or even as the Lord Jesus Christ has shown us on his way to the cross, as you read in John 12, verse 27, "Father, now my soul is deeply troubled. What shall I say? Save me from this hour?" But Jesus says, "No, for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And Paul's deepest desire is not that he is saved from the difficulty of the circumstance that he is in prison. His deepest desire is to see God glorified and the gospel go forward. He knows that he has this from Christ. And so we learn in a general way here that it's not always as it seems. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're beyond our thoughts. Humanly speaking, in terms of what you see Paul going through, it's not been easy at all. But his point is, this has happened to me for the progress of the gospel. He's making the point, God's in control. He's said things already that we've seen. 1 verse 6, he's begun a good work in you, he'll be faithful to complete it. Paul knows that for himself. He knows that with regard to the gospel. He knows the familiar verse. He penned it. Romans 8 verse 28. God is working all things together for the good of those who love him. And he knows that that's true for him in this situation as well. All these things that have happened to me have turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. The gospel should go forward. Now, as I said, Paul doesn't go into detail here. Paul is not looking for pity. But I want us to at least appreciate what he's talking about. And what the church in Philippi, who'd kept tabs on him, would have surely known about the things that Paul had gone through. He does, at one point in one of his letters, speak of these things. He gives a quick sort of summary of it in 2 Corinthians 11, at verse 24. In four or five verses, he gives a summary of how difficult it was for him. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24, he says, "From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one." Five times, 39 lashes. "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep," swimming in the sea. "In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." You just think about that. It's instructive. It's challenging to see how he ends that whole list of difficulties that he talks about. And the worst of it all, or the most intense, the most serious, most important of it all, my deep concern for all the churches. And if we would spend our time just sort of studying through the last 10 chapters or so of the book of Acts, you'll see how the Apostle Paul experienced difficulty after everything he had experienced here in Philippi. They knew what it was for the Apostle Paul to have been put in prison. That's how his ministry began there some 12 years earlier. And then after having moved along, we read in Acts 20, verse 22, that he had set his sight on Jerusalem, even though it had been prophesied for him many times, you are going to run into difficulty there and chains await you. But he is compelled. That's where he needs to go. And he goes to Jerusalem. He goes into the temple, and they begin to complain about this Paul, as though he were an intruder into the temple at Jerusalem, as though he were speaking against the law of God, as though he were speaking against the people of God, as though he were speaking against this temple of God. And a mob drags him out of the temple. He's able to stand up, and a way is cleared for him to lay out the Lord's dealings with him and to explain his conversion on the road to Damascus. And he's given opportunity to preach the gospel, and everything seems to be going well until he says, "And now the Lord has sent me to the Gentiles." And then they say he's not fit to live. So then he needs to be arrested for his protection. And then we read of a conspiracy to have him murdered, and we read that he is taken off to Caesarea further for his protection. We also know that in the days first of Felix and then of Festus, and King Agrippa comes along, that he is there for 2 years. And finally the point comes where he is able to be set free, except for the fact that he had appealed to Caesar. He wanted to go and speak to Caesar, make his appeal there. So that will get him on a ship and off to Rome. And toward the end of the book of Acts, we read of how he was in the deep and how he was shipwrecked and how they experienced many storms on the sea and finally was shipwrecked off the coast of Malta and found himself floating and holding on to pieces of the boat. But the Lord preserved him alive. And finally, he gets to Rome. But his welcome at Rome was perhaps not what he would have expected. He thought, I'm going to go and have my appeal to Caesar. Rather, he finds himself in chains. And that's where he is when this is taking place. So you can understand the concern of the Philippian church. You can understand, you could well understand, how the Apostle Paul, we might say, humanly speaking, had every right to be frustrated. I have a mission from God. I desire to see the gospel go forward, and here I am in chains. But Paul is saying, but I want you to know, it's way better than you think. And just to reflect on that briefly for ourselves, we would say we need to know. We need to be reminded, we need to be encouraged in terms of our own experience, in terms of what we're experiencing right now, broadly speaking, or what you might be struggling with, or how we may struggle as a church, how I may struggle as a pastor in terms of what our calling and our task is in the midst of these days. We feel like we are being limited, we feel like the gospel is not going forward as it should, we feel like we're weak, we feel like we're ill-prepared. All of those things are worth thinking about, but we could say from what the Apostle Paul is showing us here, be encouraged in terms of what God is doing, in terms of the sovereign God's love and care for His church. These chains that I have are in Christ. Christ has put me here. Christ is with me here. And maybe you can even reflect on circumstances in your own life or perhaps thinking about the past when you thought You were so weak. When you thought there was only complaining to do. How nevertheless the Lord took those times and used them for your good and brought you closer to himself. The Apostle Paul is saying, I want you to know. I want you to know this hope. I want you to rest in the confidence of the work of this God who's begun a good work in you, and he'll be faithful to complete it. Well, here's how it shows, our second point this morning. So if we talked about understanding the experience that is from Christ, now we're talking about unleashing the blessing of this evidence that is for Christ. What happens? It's become evident to the whole palace guard, he says, verse 13, that my chains are in Christ. Now, we have to understand the nature of Paul's imprisonment. He's not locked up behind bars as we might expect from what we think a prison is today. He's in the context of the palace of Caesar under the care of the palace guard. They were the elite in their day. And Paul needed to be guarded by them. It's understood that he was probably chained at all times to one of these chosen guards. It's also understood that he had opportunity, nevertheless, to maybe go about a little bit, or he certainly had opportunity for many people to come and visit him. So then you have to appreciate that the apostle is living a life in such a way that it's evident to these palace guards that his imprisonment is in Christ. So they don't hear him complaining, so to speak. They don't hear him grumbling about the difficulty of the circumstances. Rather, when people come to visit the Apostle Paul, they hear him speaking about Jesus. Perhaps they were there, perhaps they were the very ones who were used of the Apostle Paul as he dictated the letters that he wrote from prison to the Ephesians, to the Philippians here, to the Colossians, to Philemon. And so they are listening in on what he has to say. Again, it's humbling for me to think about circumstances, maybe you've had them too, when you were sitting with someone in a situation, maybe at a park, maybe in a restaurant, and you were talking about life in the church, and maybe you were commiserating a little bit that things don't always go in the way that they should, and then you realize that people are actually listening to what you have to say. And what do they take away from our conversations? You have the sense here from the Apostle Paul's conversations that the palace guard took away from Paul's conversation, he is in Christ. And as he would go on to say, for him to live is Christ, to die is gain. He's not even afraid to die. Why is he not afraid to die? Because he belongs to Christ. So they would have seen a man who is patient, a man who is gracious, a man who spends time on his knees in prayer. They would have witnessed all these things. And like his other times of imprisonment, perhaps they would have heard him singing praises to God, even though he is in chains. And certainly the Apostle Paul would not have left it at that, would not have left it in terms of, well, they might have overheard something. That's pretty good for them if they do. Understand that the Apostle Paul would have taken opportunity to explain the gospel to them. Indications are that one of the most important, most effective ways that the gospel made progress in these days was through the ministry of Roman soldiers. You have some allusion to that even at the end of the book of Philippians. The last three verses, Philippians 4, verse 21 through 23, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So among Caesar's household, we take that also to include Caesar's palace guard, there are brethren, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. and they send their greetings to you. So the gospel is going forward in ways that you never would have expected it to do. The Apostle Paul makes it evident that he's there because of Christ. He's there because of his ministry for Christ. He's there in the context of the fact that Jesus is taking care of all this, but he's there with Christ. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So it shows in that glorious way. But he goes on, Philippians 1 verse 14, most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident in my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. This is the most glorious thing to appreciate. So, a church is being gathered. Brethren in the Lord, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And most of them, he says, are now the more encouraged to speak the word. More bold to speak the word without fear. You would have thought that in the context of the Apostle Paul being imprisoned, in the context of the difficulties that they experienced, they would be tempted to be quiet, to be hesitant, to be afraid. But the Apostle Paul's example of being ready always to speak of the hope that he has gives them encouragement themselves to be more bold. And that's what we see happening. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. So, we would say in our third point now, off you go. We are undergirded with confidence in Christ. Christ is with us too. As we look around, as we see from this passage, difficult things happen. Paul doesn't want to go into it. He doesn't want to focus on it, but it's the reality. But he has already shown us, I want you to know that these things that happened to me actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. This is what's really happening. This is what God is doing. And I want you to have that same confidence as you think about the difficulties in your life. To think about God is actually finishing his work. God is actually at work in me for my good and for his glory. God is actually equipping me to speak more boldly about the hope that we have in Jesus. And perhaps we're not in prison like the Apostle Paul was. But in the face of this present challenge, can we say we're actually more bold to speak the word without fear? Notice what he's talking about there in verse 14. He says, most of the brethren, not everybody has that kind of courage, not everybody gets it, but most of the brethren, he's saying. He's not talking about fellow preachers at this point, he's talking about the brethren, the brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of them are more bold to speak the word without fear. And perhaps in our day, in terms of the cultural pressures, in terms of the ways we find ourselves being pushed to the edges or set aside as Christians, we may be more afraid to open our mouths. But the response should be the opposite. The response should be the opposite. That we speak the word. And maybe we're inclined in our day and age to say, well, you know, we have such opposition and people don't want to hear the word, so you can't speak the word. You got to do other things. You got to do something other than speaking the word. That's not what Paul said. And I submit to you that there's nothing going on in our day and age that's any different than what Paul and his brothers and sisters were experiencing there when he was in prison in Rome. But they spoke the word without fear. Brothers and sisters, we need a firm confidence in the power of the Word of God and the power of the gospel, which is power of God unto salvation to all who believe. They spoke the word more boldly. We may have restraints upon us. We may have things that push us aside in our culture. But bottom line is, we still have Christ and we still have lips. And so we should speak the word boldly. Let this be our encouragement. Let it be a challenge to us. Let me highlight again those two little words at the end of verse 13, in Christ. Maybe our difficulties are because of Christ. Ultimately, we would say that everything we're going through is from the hand of Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we go through these challenges with Christ, and we desire to minister for Christ. All of that, I think you can see in those two little words, in Christ. And so that's an encouragement to us as well when we think we can't. When we're more inclined to complain. In Christ we have hope. It's because of Christ that we're here. It's for Christ's sake that we desire to be more bold for the gospel. And it's by the grace of God that is in Christ that we can. So just summarizing in terms of what we've seen, what the Apostle Paul has shown us here, he has gone through a lot. Life is not always easy. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus said, John 16, verse 33. But don't always judge what you see happening. Or don't always rush to rash conclusions that we might as well give up or be so negative. Because God is at work for the good of his people always, in all circumstances. And these things, too, are happening for the progress of the gospel, that the gospel may advance. So, with that, we also need to be those who are looking for that hope and that encouragement. Instead of getting turned inward, instead of getting frustrated, instead of having a sort of despairing, giving up attitude, we say, but God is at work. And I can persevere. And because we know that from the Word, we can continue to encourage each other in that. Paul's also spoken about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The comfort with which you've been comforted, use that to comfort others. That's how the gospel advances. And because we know all of that, see to it. See to it that our desire is, Lord, in this, right now, my difficulty, these days, I want the gospel to advance. I want to be part of that. I want to be more bold. And in Christ, you can. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the encouragements we have here in these verses. Encouragement of knowing, having this sense of conviction, this experiential certainty that you are at work, Lord, even in the most difficult challenges of our day. We desire, therefore, to be part of that work, to see the gospel go forward. And we desire, O Lord, to do it boldly, more boldly than we have up until this point. We thank you for the encouragement and the promise, the hope of that, that we have here in this passage, and we pray that our response would be one of resting in your goodness and grace, and desiring to speak of that hope to those around us. We ask, O Lord, that you will continue to strengthen us and use us for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.